From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Need to Stint. The text is found in Proverbs 28 and verse 10. The upright shall have good things in possession. The book of Proverbs is also a book of promises. Promises ought to be proverbs among the people of God. This is a very remarkable one. We are accustomed to think of our good things as in reversion. But here we are told that we shall have them in possession. Not all the malice and cunning of our enemies can work our destruction. They shall fall into the pit which they have digged. Our inheritance is so entailed upon us that we shall not be kept out of it, nor so turned out of the way as to miss it. But what have we now? We have a quiet conscience through the precious blood of Jesus. We have the love of God set upon us beyond all change. We have power with God in prayer in all time of need. We have the providence of God to watch over us, the angels of God to minister to us, and above all, the Spirit of God to dwell in us. In fact, all things are ours, whether things present or things to come, all are yours. Jesus is ours. Yea, the divine Trinity in unity is ours. Hallelujah! Let us not pine and whine and stint and slave, since we have good things in possession. Let us live on our God and rejoice in Him all the day. Help us, O Holy Ghost.
Come, Christians, joy to sing, our praise to Christ our King. Sun with falling beam, the
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Judgment According to Truth. The text is Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, where we read, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the development of this truth about judgment. Like the Jews of old, many people will agree that there is such a thing as God's judgment upon sin. The problem is, they don't want to admit that this judgment will fall upon their sin. But God is holy, and He must and will judge sin. Indeed, the word judgment, as used here, has nothing to do with a courtroom. It refers to a judicial decision or the sentence passed upon one who already has been found guilty. God's judgment is based upon the true state of men's hearts. Then, as we'll see, God's judgment is according to justice. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, judgment according to truth.
Now, I want to be blunt. I don't want to be ill-mannered with you, but I want to be blunt with you, because we're talking about the righteous judgment of God being according to truth. Are there not people here tonight? You're hiding behind a profession, just like the Jew. You say, but when did saying ever save you? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 20 of his first epistle, "The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And at least one way that we may apply that is, it's not in the word of profession. It's not in a mere claim. He's going to judge not by profession, but by reality, the real state of the case. Furthermore, he's going to judge not by appearance, but by the real state. Now, appearance meant a lot to Jews. Remember how Jesus spoke of the Jewish leaders of his day? He says, they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Appearance. Keeping up the appearance. To so many people, the appearance is of much more value than the reality. Men and women, let me tell you, the best thing that can happen to you tonight is to come to realize what you really are in the sight of a holy God. Because that's precisely what God is going to judge. He's going to judge what you are in reality, not in appearance. John Calvin, commenting on this text, said that the mask of feigned sanctity will not prevent him from visiting secret wickedness with judgment. Pointing out that what Paul uses here, though he's writing in Greek, is actually a Hebrew idiom. He says, truth in Hebrew often means the inward integrity of the heart. And thus it stands opposed not only to gross falsehood, but also to the outward appearance of good works. Calvin, being the great preacher and pastor that he was, made this great insight. Hypocrites are awakened only when they are told that God will take an account not only of their disguised righteousness, but also of their secret motives and feelings. Put that in very simple language. There are people, you may be among them, and you do this and this and this. You're in God's house. You can talk the language. You can say and do enough to disguise what you really are. And God is not deceived by appearance. He says, I will judge by reality. It's according to truth. But reality also takes another twist here. I was thinking of this as I pondered this text, that God will judge you by truth and not by human opinion. I often think of Judas. Judas was one of the 12. When Jesus sent out the 12, Judas went with them. When they went from town to town healing the sick, doing miracles and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Judas was one of them. There is not the slightest evidence in the New Testament that Judas did anything or said anything that marked him off from the rest. Had you gone to the rest of the disciples and asked them about Judas Iscariot, they would have said, yes, he's one of us. We have seen him at Jesus' feet. We have seen him learning to pray, directly taught by the Son of God. We've seen him hanging on every word that fell from Jesus' lips. We have seen him go out. We have heard him preaching. We have seen him lay hands on the sick and they have recovered. He is one of us. But they were wrong. You could go around the towns of Galilee that Judas preached in. You could go to the homes that Judas visited. You could go to the sick whom Judas healed. And there would be a unanimous human opinion. Judas is a man of God. But God does not judge according to human opinion. That's why it is folly of the highest order when people are suffering from doubts about their salvation. It is utter folly for preachers to give them assurance based on their opinion. The number of times I have had people come to me and ask, "Do you not think that I'm saved? Could you not tell me what good on earth would it do you that I had the opinion that you were saved?" My opinion may be a million miles from the truth. I have no doubt, had I known Judas Iscariot with the rest of them, my opinion would have been the same as everybody else's. But it wouldn't have made it right. God doesn't judge by human opinion. Jesus said in John 8, verse 16, "My judgment is true." He judges in truth according to the real state of the case. Now let me ask you, what is the real state of your soul in the sight of a holy God tonight? What is the real state of your soul? Are you reconciled to God by faith in His Son? Are you washed from sin in the precious blood that Jesus shed? Have you given up every hope of self and self-righteousness and abandoned yourself solely to the merits of Jesus Christ? Have you in truth received Him as your Lord, your King, and your Savior and Redeemer? What is the real state of your soul? Because men and women, young people, understand this. The judgment of God is according to truth. That is, according to the real state of the case. Truth, of course, not only means reality, it means equity, justice. Divine judgment is just. In Psalm 96, verse 13, you get an insight into the meaning of the word truth in this connection. For we read that the Lord cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, or with justice, and the people with His truth. The parallelism in the psalm would indicate that by truth, He means justice. Now, let's understand this. What is this justice of God? It means that God will not acquit the guilty. He will not acquit the Jew for something for which He judges the Gentile. That's what the Jew was hoping. "Lord, judge the Gentiles, but let it go on me." God is never going to compromise His justice like that. And yet again, how true to life this is. Is there a man among us who doesn't point the finger at somebody else and say, "Ah, yes, God is going to judge. God will surely judge that sin." And yet, with the very same viper in your own bosom, you somehow imagine that He will not judge that sin in your heart. That's to make God unjust. No, no. The justice of God will never acquit the wicked. Did you ever think of it that even in pardoning, God does not acquit the wicked? In Nahum 1 verse 3 we read that the Lord is slow to anger. He is great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. Do you remember how Moses got this revelation of God This is a great text. Someday, perhaps I'll be able to preach on it. I haven't tried to preach on it for 20 years now. And I remember the last time I did try, and I came away so utterly discouraged of my inability even to touch the vastness of the text that I've been scared off from it ever since. Exodus chapter 34. God's own description of himself. Verses 6 and 7. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Then notice the very next words. And that will by no means clear the guilty. How can those two things go together? How can they both be true? That God forgives, and yet he never acquits the wicked. How can it be true that God forgives, but he never clears the guilty? This brings you to the very heart of the gospel. Because this is true in the case of believers. Because God declares us righteous, and God forgives us on the ground that he has dealt with our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sin must be judged. And it is either judged in the person of Christ or it is judged in the person of the sinner. But God does not acquit the wicked. And that tells me that his judgment is just always. And if you appear before God in your sin, he will judge it and he will judge you. According to the reality of the case and according to the standard of absolute, exact, eternal justice. I've mentioned before that years ago, the American singer Sammy Davis Jr. converted to Judaism. And he gave us one of his reasons, his major reason. He liked Judaism because of its emphasis on justice. Outside of Jesus Christ, the last thing in the world I want is the justice of God. For if God deals with me in raw justice, then I will be irretrievably and eternally damned. But I thank God I can come to the cross and I can see the justice of God there in operation. I can see God heap my sin on Jesus and then pour out the wrath of God upon him as the bearer of my sin. And only when Christ had extinguished all the fury of the wrath of God against my sin, only then could God pardon my iniquity. Oh, I want his justice, but I want his justice as borne by Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the judgment of God will be according to perfect equity, according to perfect justice. And remember, when you're judged by that standard, remember what Jesus said. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for some of you. It's an awful statement. That's an awful statement. Sodom? You realize what he's saying? Sodom? A cesspool of iniquity? The men of Sodom, such vile perverts that they paraded their wickedness and were willing to batter down the door to Lot's house to commit their perversions. How deep will hell be for the men of Sodom? Yet Jesus looks at people who have never committed the sins of Sodom as such. And he said, when you meet God, it would be better for you to have been born and to have lived and to have died in Sodom, and have been born and lived and died in Greenville as a despiser and a hater and a rejecter of the gospel of his dear son. The gospel is so important because apart from it, you'll have the judgment of God in truth. That is perfect equity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.